Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Bulky Blue Sports Podcast. Now, today, sort of double stacking in a way. Going to be going over the Juve loss and then mainly talking about the victory against Southampton in the Premier League yesterday. Now, first thing I do want to say is that you may hear background noise, and that's because I've currently got the Liverpool versus Manchester City game playing. It's currently 0-0, 42nd minute. It's mainly been Man City, but there hasn't really been too many clear-cut chances. Literally, as I speak, Milner has just been booked for a foul on Phil Foden. So, we'll get into the Juve game. And, well, what a shower of shit, basically. It was our, on paper, toughest game of our group stage. We lost 1-0. Chiesa scored. And our lineup for that game was Mendy in goal. We had Christensen, Silva, and Tony Rudiger as a back three. Aspie, right wing back. Alonso, left wing back. Jorginho and Kovacic as the centre midfield pairing. We then had Kai Havertz and Ziyech behind Romelu Lukaku. And it was very, well, it was a shower of shit. Even like the subs that we made did try changing it, but by that point it was too late. So first half, like, was just slow. I've literally put here slow, lazy, sideways, backwards, because that's all it was. Like, there was barely any movement from, like, the bridge between the midfield and the attack. And then I'll get on to Havertz and Ziyech, because they were absolutely shocking. And yeah, it's just, we went in at halftime 0-0. You thought, all right, Tuchel's going to majorly bollock them at halftime. They'll come out, head geared on, and Alisson's just made a very big save. Sorry, I've completely lost track of where I was then. Yeah, so we come out at half-time, and straight away at half-time, we make a sub. Chilwell's coming on for Alonso at half-time. Referee blows the whistle, and 11 seconds into the second half, we concede. So that's from now. To now. That was how quick it took Chelsea to concede in the second half. And at that point, it was just more of the same. We had, in the match, we had 73% possession, 16 shots and only one on target. And that one on target wasn't anything worth note. At 62nd minute, we made a triple sub. We brought off Jorginho, Ziyech and Aspie. We brought on Chalobah, Hudson-Odoi and Loftus-Cheek. And the Champions League, you get 5 subs. And then in the 75th minute, we brought on Barkley for Christensen. It was just the same thing over and over and over again. Like, we'd get to the towards their box, would see a massive wall of white shirts in front of us and go, oh, okay. I'll pass backwards. I'll pass sideways. And I was watching the game with my brother, and I was literally sitting there, and I was getting a raving hump. And I'm sitting there going, it's going to pass sideways, it's going to pass sideways, it's going to pass backwards. And every single time I'm saying it, he did it. A few players really annoyed me against Juve. Two of which I've already mentioned, Havertz and Ziyech. Alonso, he's been brilliant all season, but he was annoying. Kovacic was annoying. Jorginho was annoying. And Hudson-Odoi was annoying as well. Havertz and Ziyech were meant to be, as I said earlier, that bridge between Kovacic and Jorginho and Lukaku. And when Kovacic and Jorginho did manage to get the ball into them, Havertz and Ziyech lost the ball pretty much every single time they fucking got it. Like, I think there were, I might be wrong, but I'm sure there was a stat saying Kai had 11% ball retention. And it's just not good enough. It really isn't good enough at all. And I think, I'll get onto it more later, but rightfully so, they didn't play against Southampton. They were shit, and they needed to be dropped. And the last player in that I wanted to mention was Hudson-Odoi, because when he plays further forward, we know he's got the ability to pick the ball up and run past players with ease. And he wasn't doing it. He'd get a ball, he'd pass backwards. And it's like, every single time I was screaming, Callum, take him on. Just run at him. Run. And every single fucking time, nope, I pass backwards. And then you compare that to his performance against Southampton. In the 65 minutes he played, he was running at these players. He was brilliant against Southampton. As I said, I'll get more into the Southampton game in a minute, but that loss against Juve was very, very much preventable. And it then made it two losses in a row. And in 90 minutes, no win in the past three. Because we drew with Villa in 90 minutes. All right, we beat them on penalties, but we drew with Villa. Lost to City and then lost to Juve. Which then does take me on to the Southampton game. We needed a bounce back. And a lot got made of how Chelsea had only conceded to, like, religious names or whatnot. And it was, at the time, it was only Jesus. I think this was in the league, in competitive matches, basically. It said about Chelsea have conceded to Jesus, Muhammad, and Chiesa's name means church. And now we're playing Saints. And it's like, fuck's sake. But forgetting about what's his face scoring against us for Villa. I can't remember his name, but we go into the Southampton game and we had a lineup of Mendy, of course, Chalobah, Silva, Rudiger, Aspi right wing back, Ruben and Kovacic in the middle with Chilwell left wing back. Alonso not playing. And then we had Werner and Hudson-Odoi behind Romelu Lukaku. I think it was more of a cho in behind Lukaku and Werner, but like, it's either way, that was our front three. we started really well. Pinging the ball about nicely. We had a rhythm going and it was what we needed. And in the 9th minute, from a corner, Chilwell whips a cross in. Ruben gets the flick on. And then at the back post is Trevor Chalobah to make it 1-0. Scoring his second goal for Chelsea. And everything's looking rosy. We go in to half time at 1-0. Wrongfully 1-0. Which I'll get more into in a minute. But we go in 1-0. Come out in the second half and it's like, alright, okay, cool. Not a problem. And in the 60th minute, Ben Chilwell, the one person we didn't want to make a mistake, ends up bringing down Tino Livramento and giving Southampton a penalty, which it was a pen. There's no point even remotely denying it. It was a penalty. James Ward-Prowse stepped up, slotted it away. Not a problem. 1-1. This is when we started making subs. So we brought on Mount for Hudson-Odoi at 65 minutes. Then we brought on Jorginho for Kovacic at 73 minutes. And then we were passing in and around like our box and whatnot. And then Jorginho gets given a ball and he passes it off. And as he's passed it off, James Ward-Prowse has come through the back of him. Studs showing through the back of his leg. If Jorginho's leg's planted, it's a leg breaker. And we had Martin Atkinson as referee. And he's looked at him and he's booked him. Only a yellow card. Well, VAR have got onto him. And it's the most blatant red card of all. And they've, like the VAR, who was Mike Dean, turned and said, actually, I don't know, you have a look at it. To be fair to him, Martin Atkinson looks at it and sends off James Ward-Prowse. Again, I'll get onto the referees properly in a minute. 83rd minute comes round. Ross Barkley comes on for Loftus-Cheek. And Ruben, by the way, had an immense game. He was outstanding. And then literally a minute later, Ross Barkley gets the ball around 35 yards out, 30 yards out. Pings an absolutely gorgeous diagonal ball out to the right wing for Aspilicueta. And Aspie, first time, puts it across the box and Werner is there to tap it in from about 7 yards out, give or take. Perfectly legit goal. We go 2-1 up. And then in the 89th minute, I think it was Mount is running into the box. He squares it. Lukaku hits a shot, hits the post. Aspie then hits the follow-up. That hits the post and it comes out to Ben Chilwell on the left-hand side of the box. He hits a shot and initially it looks like the goalkeeper had saved it. But goal line technology deemed it over the line and it was over the line, only just. I think the ball fully crossed the line by about an inch, if that. But it was over the line and we walk out of the game with as 3-1 winners. Should have been 4-1. Now, I've already spoken a bit on the red card, which how Mike Dean has had to give Martin Atkinson the decision on that is pathetic. It's the most blatant of red cards and he's passed it off because he's too worried about making a wrong decision. No, it's a red card, you fucking idiot. Send him off. Which, all right, it came, Martin Atkinson did give the right decision. In the 33rd minute, I think, or 34th minute, Lukaku scored, and marginally, but again, correctly, offside. That's not the problem. The problem decision is in the 40th minute. Now, we win the ball back, and then 20 seconds later, we put the ball in the back of the net. Werner scored. And it goes to VAR. Now, it went to a foul in the build-up to the goal. About 20 seconds before the ball went in. So Aspilicueta was deemed to have fouled Walker Peters. Aspie's right foot has brushed Walker Peters' right foot. The foul itself is soft as shit. But the thing that doesn't sit right with me is two things. One, Aspie's right foot is at the outside of Walker Peters' right foot, which, going by physics, should send Walker Peters' right leg inwards towards the left. But how Walker Peters flopped down, he's thrown his legs out, doing the sort of splits, and just flopped to the floor. But he got back up and didn't appeal it. He then, Southampton then reset defensively. There's a couple of crosses come in. And then I think it's the third cross that Hudson-Odoi whips it in. Werner climbs up, bosh, heads it in to make it 2-0 at the time. And how far back is too far? Because against Leicester in the FA Cup, we were told that the handball in the build-up to Tielemans' goal was too far before the goal itself to be deemed in as part of the build-up. Yet, that was less time than this one today. So the referees are making it up on the spot. How'd you work that one out? I don't get it. I really don't get it. One minute is saying about fouling build up, then they're saying it's too close. And it for me, Werner scored twice yesterday. He scored two perfectly legit goals, and the referees robbed him of one. But I'm not surprised anymore. Not only was it Martin Atkinson who, all right, he's not as bad as some of the others, but he has the odd howler in him. But in charge of VAR was probably the second worst of the lot. In Mike Dean, as I've already said. Anthony Taylor's the worst one. But we have Mike Dean. I don't get it. But when Werner scored in the 84th minute, it was justice. He deserved a goal. And I'm actually going to get into Werner now. Werner was fucking excellent yesterday. He really was excellent. The pressing, the passing, the winning the winning of corners, the space creation, the goals. He looked hungry and he looked confident. And on top of all, he showed exactly why he is fucking key to this team. He is so vital to us. And I don't get the hate. I don't get the hate. I really don't. It's pathetic. When you see when we don't have him on the pitch, he didn't play at all against Juve. And we looked slow. We looked lethargic. There was no space for anyone. Within 9 minutes today of Werner playing, we've scored and already created another big chance. So maybe there's more to Werner than meets the eye. Who would have thought, eh? Same as Mount. Mount's vital when he plays. At the end of the day, 99% of the fan base love and support Timo Werner. And it's not just like it's not a sympathy thing or anything like that. He hasn't scored the goals we've expected him to score. But everything else he does on that pitch is perfect. And I saw a tweet from Alex Goldberg and he summed it up perfectly. Werner's best trait is perseverance. Because no matter how much shit goes against him, he never drops his head. I was having a conversation yesterday with someone. It was on the 1905 thread timeline. And they put about the tweet and I said about not wanting any hate for Werner. And someone else put that he's very underrated in terms of what he brings to us and that. And then I turned around and said that basically he's being... I think it's unfair when people compare him to Morata. A lot of people look at the face value and go the goals and whatnot. And that's fair enough. But many of them then take it a step too far and start abusing him. And the abuse isn't on. It's actually ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But going back to the comparison, when you look at the difference between Werner and Morata, with Morata, when he didn't score, he was useless. Now, I like Morata. But he was useless for us. Yes, he's gone. He went back to Atletico, or went to Atletico, should I say, and then back to Juve, and he's looked good, and he has looked decent, to be fair. And he gets a good amount of goals and whatnot, but he wasn't what we needed. Yes, people took it too far with him and all, but he was lazy. He would sulk and bitch and moan. Yet, Werner, even though he may not score, even though things may not go his way, he'll always wear his heart on his sleeve and he'll always give his fucking hardest for our team. And it was the same as it was the same reason why Fernando Torres was a favourite at the bridge as well. He didn't get the goals that everyone expected, but when he what he did do on the pitch was he worked his absolute arse off for the rest of his team. And for us, that goes a long way. It goes a massively long way in terms of winning us over as fans. Because if you can prove that you're trying to do better, then we ain't going to have a problem. Yes, we'll criticise. Yes, we'll whinge and moan. But what we'll also do is understand and recognise. And then we'll also back you when people start abusing. Because the abuse is pathetic. As I've said, like, with Morata, you see you see people like wishing ill on his family. And it's just like, you're scum. Whereas what they could do is like criticise. And or constructively criticise. Yes, he played poor, but he can do this, he can do that, blah, blah, blah. But no, they just go bosh, ill on his family, whatnot. And it, the same has been, like, for example, that training ground, the person at the training session. You've got all this, you've got all these opportunities to say something nice about one of the other players. Or if you are going to comment on Werner, something constructive. Oh, keep your head up, it'll happen, blah, blah, blah. But no, in the end, what he decided to do was publicly humiliate the guy and go, get out of my club. That's not on. And the fact that he's, the fact that he's been able to come through that, scored 3 goals in international break, scored against Villa, came, like, scored yesterday twice. Ooh, unlucky. Joe just had a chance. Scored 2 perfectly legitimate goals, in my opinion. Only one of them counted because of idiot refereeing, but still took his chances well. I think we could see a resurgence from Timo. And I hope we do, because the guy is fantastic. And if we can get Leipzig Werner with the, like, with the attitude that he's shown so far, with the ability of Leipzig Werner, we're in for a treat. We really are. And I said it at the start of the season, put Werner with Lukaku and it could be lethal. We've seen them play together now. Against Spurs, we started carving them open. Like, against City, they played together, but didn't have service at all. And then we've seen it today. Werner scored 2 goals. And, well, again, only one counted. But Werner scored. Lukaku played good. And then they complement each other in terms of one runs, one drops and whatnot. It's brilliant to see. And I think we could go a very long way using them too. Obviously, we won't be able to use them every week or every game, should I say, because it's no player can play every game. And with the schedule that we've got, well, so we've got international break now, but once we come back, we've got to play. We've got all the Premier League games. We've got Malmo. We're going to have Southampton. I think we're also going to have Malmo again. Like, once the Champions League restarts. Like, because we got another international break in November, and then that's it until next year for internationals. But between now, which is going to be an international break after this Man City game, and then the next international break, I think we've got, like, in 4 weeks, we've got, like, 9 games or 10 games or something like that. It's ridiculous. We've got a game every 3 or 4 days. So it is what it is. If we want to win the biggest competitions, and then we got to prepare to be in them for the long haul. And I think with the resurgence of Loftus-Cheek coming about, Barkley's looked decent in the 2 cameos he's played so far. I think if we can get them playing well, that's another bolster to our midfield and our forward line. We've got Pulisic to come back in. Obviously, with him, it's if he can stay fit. Ziyech has looked poor, so we've got him to come back to form. Havertz as well has looked poor, we've got him to come back to form. We've got Kante to come back in from injury. We've got Reece James to come back from injury. Like, we've got the squad. And I think it won't... All we need is a manager with the know-how to utilise that squad, and I think we've got exactly that. Tuchel is a genius. And, all right, the last couple of games against City and... against City and Juve, it hasn't quite gone to plan. But that's not him. That was us playing poorly. And he tried changing it, and by that point, the other managers had got the upper hand. And it's not as if Pep and Allegri are like novice managers. No, they're both elite managers. Same as Tuchel. So I'm not going to go in too much. We got the win that we very much needed before the international break. We, as I said, we very much needed it. And with it being international break, I think I'm going to quickly touch on the other games, like go over the other scores and bits and pieces. So you had Man United play Everton yesterday lunchtime. That finished 1-1. Ollie put in Ronaldo on the bench to start with, and they went 1-0 up through Martial. And then Andros Townsend doing the biggest, like, he ended up doing Ronaldo's celebration in front of the Man United fans as, like, to wind them up. Like, it was a big shithousery moment. It was hilarious. But they dropped points and benefited us. Burnley versus Norwich. If I give you 5 seconds to predict a scoreline, you're probably going to guess it right. 0-0. It just says all, really. Chelsea 3, Southampton 1, which we've just reviewed. We had Leeds 1, Watford 0, with Leeds picking up their first win of the season. I watched that game back, and they really should have been more than 1-0 up. Watford did score, but got disallowed, rightfully so. And this morning, Watford had sacked their manager. Don't know his name. There's no point learning his name now because he's gone. You also had Wolves winning as well. They beat Newcastle 2-1. Hwang Hee-chan with a brace. He's a very good player, Hwang Hee-chan. Brighton versus Arsenal was 0-0. Arsenal lucky to get a point from that. Cucurella looking absolutely incredible already. And then moving to today, we had 3 games at 2 o'clock. We had Palace versus Leicester at Selhurst Park, which finished 2-2. We then had Spurs beat Villa 2-1. We had West Ham lose 2-1 at home to Brentford. Brentford going 1-0 up. West Ham equalising in the 80th. And then Brentford scoring in the 94th minute to win it. And then as it stands right now, 58 minutes into the Liverpool-Man City game, it is 0-0. With this game being the last game of the weekend before the players go to international duty. Now, I hate international breaks. It breaks up the season. It's more games for players to play on already tired legs. And literally, as I'm speaking, Sadio Mane has just made it 1-0 to Liverpool. I don't know if it was offside or not. I weren't watching it. I just heard the crowd roar and see Mane score it. I'll keep you posted. But in terms of international breaks, as I said, it runs a risk of more injuries. Like one of the last international breaks we had, it totally destroyed Werner. Because he missed a chance for Germany, and then Mane's well onside. Good goal. Very good goal. Goal's gonna stand. 1-0 Liverpool. As it stands, Liverpool overtake Chelsea to go top of the table. We really need a draw with that game. If any of the teams win, they jump us. If any of them win, they jump Chelsea to go top. So we need a draw in that game. And apparently that was Mane's 99th Premier League goal as well. But, yeah, I mean, we've now got to sit through 2 weeks, at least in England, of Southgate ball, which is a load of fucking crap. Hopefully Lukaku and Werner can have good international breaks. Hope like Kai and Ziyech as well could come back full of confidence, and I don't know. Hopefully they come back better than they left, and not either injured or out of form and out of confidence. But that is going to be the end of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. If you did enjoy it, please share me around. Share the podcast around. It means the absolute world to me. And until the next one, which will be after the international break, be a preview for the next game. Hope you all enjoy it. Keep the blue flag flying high. Stay safe, and I will see you on the next one. Good. Bye.